T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. We continue with our SEC and ACC preview series. Here's what I do, guys. You know, I put pressure on myself every day, right? I'm like, we got to get a representative from every team in the SEC. All well and good. And not too difficult, because even if you don't, like, let's say I don't know somebody directly that covers Mississippi State, I know somebody who knows somebody who covers Mississippi State, right? But then you get to, like, the Vanderbilts of the world, and it gets really difficult. So I went 14 for 14 on the SEC, and then this is now team number 3 on the ACC, and what I do is I look at the teams, and I'm like, do I know anybody that covers any of these teams? And so with this one, one name immediately jumped to my mind because he's a graduate of the school. He's a frequent contributor to this show, almost always on the Carolina Panthers. He's on the midday show at WFNZ in Charlotte. Josh Parcell joins the show for our Virginia Tech preview today. As an aside, Josh, did you by chance splurge on UFC over the weekend?
You know what? I didn't. I was talking to a buddy about that yesterday. I'm annoyed because you pay $5 a month or whatever it is for ESPN Plus, which you think gives you access to everything, right? No, you have to pay $5 a month for ESPN Plus, and then you still have to pay the 60-plus some dollars for the fight. So, no, I did not pay for the fight. I've thought about a couple pulling the trigger on a couple fights in the past, but I didn't do it for this one.
Well, let me tell you, first things first, I hate those monthly recurring charges. We get signed up for so many of those, and then we wonder why there's no money in the account, right? I mean, like, right. And so I was like, okay, I'm not happy after a couple months with ESPN Plus. I switched to Amazon Music. I've never been happier with that decision, right? But I'll tell you, I did splurge for this one, Josh, and I was miserable. I was miserable because I wanted a Castaway Island viewing experience. That's what I thought I was getting, and I got fights in a closet. Like I always, it just looked like every other UFC fight. Yeah. And we had been sold Fight Island. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, come on, man. Give me Fight Island, man. Take me to the island. Take me there. Didn't get it. Anyway.
I know. There should have been like jungle music playing in the background, some steel drums. They really missed their opportunity.
Yes, they really, really. Or you know how like Monday Night Football, they show different highlights of the city coming in and out of every break? Like, show us, bring me there. You know, I always say to people like Mark, you know, people will say, Mark, how should I do this show? I'm on location at this place. I always say, bring the audience there. Take them there, right? I felt like I was brought to a closet on Saturday night. Really, really annoyed. But anyway, we're here to talk Virginia Tech with you today. And I find this fascinating, Josh. Do you realize that of all the teams in the ACC, that ESPN's FPI says that Virginia Tech is the second best? Are you buying or selling that? ESPN's FPI says Virginia Tech is the 17th best team in the country heading into this season, which would be a significant upgrade over recent mediocre performance.
I buy it. I do. You have to separate Virginia Tech from last season kind of into two distinctly different seasons, the pre-Hendon Hooker era and the post-Hendon Hooker era, because once Hendon Hooker took over, I mean, they were a completely different team. I mean, after they lost to Duke last season at home on a Friday night, it felt like the sky was falling in Blacksburg. I've been at probably 150 Virginia Tech games in my life. I have never seen a more despondent crowd than I did that night at Lane Stadium. It was absolutely miserable, and they lost by, I don't remember, 28, 30 points, something like that. And it felt like the season was a lost cause. And then they enter Hendon Hooker into the starting lineup. They go on, they beat Miami the next week, and they actually averaged 36 points a game after Hooker took over as starter. They beat North Carolina. They had a couple big wins. They played UVA close at the end of the season with a couple guys injured in the secondary, or else maybe they win the Coastal. So I do think that this is a team that's probably underrated going into this season. I don't think that they're anywhere close to Clemson or anything like that. But if I was ranking my teams in the Coastal, I would have Virginia Tech number one.
Wow. I mean, that is really, really saying something, man, which would mean they're taking a big step up. So all of that leads to the feeling of pressure on Justin Fuente. I've said this on the show, Josh. I think there's a difference between hot seat pressure and just general pressure. Dan Mullen at Florida isn't under any pressure in terms of losing his job. But I'll tell you what, Josh, he better beat Georgia this year, or the natives are going to be restless because they've lost to Georgia way too many times in a row. Much of the feel good that he's established at Florida will go out the window if they can't get by Georgia this year. I think Will Muschamp's on a save his job kind of pressure. I think other coaches are on a very different kind of pressure. I know Justin Fuente's under pressure, but I don't know if it's hot seat pressure or just general we're unhappy with the direction of the program pressure. How would you describe it?
I think you're spot on with all of that. And with Fuente, he's verging on the brink of hot seat pressure. If Virginia Tech doesn't have the kind of money and the backing to be able to pay $15 million of buyout money to a coach like some other schools in the SEC are able to do. So I have a feeling that is going to keep Fuente around, save for a 3-9 season, something where it just becomes an absolute disaster, which I don't see happening. So I would be surprised if Justin Fuente lost his job after this season, even if they had a disappointing year. But make no mistake about it, Mark, you're right. There's a lot of pressure on Fuente to turn this thing around. I mean, he got off to a great start, made the ACC championship game in year one. They set all sorts of offensive records. It felt like they had finally moved into the 21st century on offense with Fuente. And then, a litany of reasons can explain why they've struggled ever since. A 9-win season the following year after their quarterback, Jerod Evans, leaves to go pro. He goes undrafted. That totally changed the course of the following year. And then there was just a bunch of reasons for the following years where they have a losing record and so on and so forth. So Virginia Tech fans are itching to get back to where they were under Frank Beamer. And they're never going to win 10 games 7 years in a row again like they did when Beamer was here. But I think it's reasonable for Virginia Tech, especially in this division, where there is no clear-cut perennial contender in the division. Virginia Tech should win 9 games most years. They should be going 5-3 minimum in the Coastal, and that hasn't happened for a while. So, there's a lot of pressure on Justin Fuente to at least get back to that. And without a non-conference schedule, I guess 9 wins is a weird number now, but they need to go 5-3 in the conference minimum, I think, this season for him to feel good.
Well, speaking to that and continuing to look at ESPN's FPI here, I don't like that they took away completely the number for Penn State, because I'm sure Virginia Tech would have been an underdog in that game. But percent chance to win, 10 of 11 games on the schedule right now, Josh, the Hokies are favored to win. Even at North Carolina, they say 53% chance the Hokies win. So that's a plus. The only game of the 11 that remain that they're an underdog in is at Louisville. So, I mean, that would seem to paint the picture of a schedule that could offer a very special outcome this year, does it not?
It does. It absolutely does. And I wish Virginia Tech was welcoming Penn State into Blacksburg as much as anyone, but it does make the schedule look a lot less severe when you don't have to take on what should have been a top five, certainly a top 10 team in Penn State. I think this team can win most of its games. That North Carolina game, it's funny. I mean, I think North Carolina could have a heck of a year. I'm fully prepared for UNC to improve on what they did last season. But I think people forget that North Carolina lost in 6 overtimes to Virginia Tech last year in a game in which Hendon Hooker didn't play in the second half, and Virginia Tech essentially went to a single-wing offense with a quarterback that couldn't throw the ball, and they won. So Virginia Tech and North Carolina are on even footing, if not Virginia Tech a little bit ahead with what they bring back on both sides. I know North Carolina brings back a lot offensively, but defensively I think Virginia Tech is a step or two ahead of the Tar Heels right now. So I think Virginia Tech is better for now. Don't get me wrong, North Carolina is going to be better in a year or two the way they're recruiting. But I think going into 2020, yeah, I see Virginia Tech in that schedule. North Carolina is a test. Louisville, of course, as you mentioned, is a test, having to go there. I think that's easily the trickiest game on their schedule. And then they do get Miami at home. But I think Virginia Tech, assuming they played 11 games, which who the heck knows, but if they played those 11, I would think that that's a 9-2, 10-1 football team.
You know, it's interesting, Josh, something you don't know about me. Some years ago, I almost took a job at a sports radio station in Blacksburg that was the flagship for Virginia Tech football. And I'll be totally honest with you. They told me at one point I was the favorite. Then they ended up going with a different person. I don't know if I would have taken the position if they offered it. The pay was, as you know, in our business, sometimes smaller markets can be a little low. Plus the cold of the area and just not knowing the area. I didn't know if I would meet people there, so on and so forth. But I say that, Josh, to say this. Is the ceiling for Virginia Tech a national championship? Can you win a national championship there? Is anything holding them back? Is anything restricting their potential there?
I do think Virginia Tech can win a national championship, but it's not a ceiling like a Clemson or an Alabama or anything like that. I look at Virginia Tech very similar to the way I look at a program like Wisconsin or Michigan State. And I think with the right year, with the right quarterback, you get lucky. I think those types of programs, Oklahoma State's kind of in that same boat. I think those teams can win a national championship. I don't think they'll ever be perennial contenders just because you've got to have a lot more money and support and resources to be able to keep up year after year with the blue bloods of college football. But we saw it was only 20 years ago Virginia Tech played in a national championship game and led going into the fourth quarter of that game with a transcendent generational quarterback in Michael Vick. So that's what it takes, right? I mean, if you have a guy like that, and there are players that come out of Virginia of that caliber every so often. I mean, Virginia Tech had one of them in Tyrod Taylor not that long ago, and there's plenty of others. The state of Virginia is loaded with talent. Virginia Tech is, by a few minutes, closer to Charlotte than Chapel Hill. You know, UNC, or rather Virginia Tech, can recruit the state of North Carolina. They've showed it in the past. You know, the D.C. area is rich with talent as well. So there's plenty of talent in the state. Virginia Tech just needs to do a better job of recruiting it. And I think that they could be a team that, you know, you catch the right breaks, it can win a national championship. But it's a long shot, but it is possible.
And you know what? I also think when you look at the state of the ACC, the programs that the league most desperately needs to rise up. You know, we always want to anoint people. And if you look at the preview magazines, Josh, North Carolina is the flavor of the month, right? Every single preview magazine, they're like 16, 17, 18, 19. And I'm like, based on what, man? Based on the recruiting class that's coming next year that may not see an infield, an on-field impact for 2 or 3 years? Based on you think Sam Howell's going to be better? Based on what exactly? I don't know, Josh. When I look at what the ACC needs, I think it needs its blue bloods to get back to blue blood performance ASAP, and I think the other blue bloods in that conference are Florida State, Miami, and Virginia Tech. You get those programs back to consistent top 15 level, nobody's talking about Clemson not playing anybody anymore.
You're exactly right. That is spot on. The ACC badly needs at least one of the Florida schools to be nationally relevant. And they had that for a while. I mean, when Jimbo Fisher had it rolling at Florida State, you had the Noles were the class of the conference, and Clemson was the upstart underdog trying to make a name for themselves. And once they did, there was only really a 1 or 2 year overlap where Clemson was a top 15 team, top 20 team, and Florida State was still a national contender as well. It really was right as Clemson was becoming a playoff threat was when Florida State you know, really dropped off, and now Jimbo's gone. So I totally agree. The ACC needs those schools. They're the ones that have the history, the tradition, the resources to do it. I would keep my eye out on Louisville. I think Louisville has an opportunity with Scott Satterfield and that coaching staff to really make some noise in the next few years. They're quietly recruiting really well also. I think their class right now sits around 20. I don't keep up with recruiting day to day, but I know their class is flirting with a top 20 group, which is what you need to be able to compete in the ACC. I think Louisville could be that team, but I agree with you that Florida State and Miami need to be relevant. Manny Diaz has a ton of pressure on him this season. I know we're talking Virginia Tech here, but I think the X factor in the ACC is De'Arik King. If he can be a star at Miami, that could change the course of the entire season for the conference, and obviously for Miami. So they need those schools to be better. It's been a few years since those schools have really been, you know, truly legitimate top 20 caliber teams. And until they are again, Clemson's going to run away with this league, and that's not good for the ACC.
At all. All right, Josh, can we get, as we close each and every day, we ask this of our experts. Who are three players we should watch out for this season here in 2020 for the Hokies?
Oh, good question. So I'll go with the easy one with Hooker, the quarterback. He just holds the keys to that team. I mean, they need Hendon Hooker to be what he was last season and honestly improve on what he was last season. He changed their offense in the second half of the year, and with a year under his belt as the starter, it's unfortunate they missed spring practice, but if they can hit the field this fall and he can improve in year two, that's big for them. I'll go with Rayshard Ashby, the middle linebacker. He is a force in the middle. They've got a great deep group of linebackers. I think Ashby is the best of the bunch. He's a potential Benarik watch list guy. And then Caleb Farley is going to be a first-round draft pick, I would think, at cornerback, first or second-round pick. He was the top-graded corner in the country last year. Virginia Tech has a long history of great defensive backs, whether it's, you know, going back to Brandon Flowers and Cam Chancellor and D'Angelo Hall and many, many others. Caleb Farley has a chance to put his name in that class of guys with another big year this season. So I'll look at those three guys. There's a ton of talent on this team that they bring back. They've been young for a couple of years, and now it feels like it's time for that all that experience as freshmen and sophomores to pay off. And I'm sure Justin Fuente is itching for there to be a college football season.
He's Josh Parcell. He's on our sister station in Charlotte, host of the Midday Show there, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day. Does a fantastic job. And incidentally, his new program director, Terry Fox, is my former program director in Atlanta. Had a very positive experience with that, Josh. And, dude, congratulations on your engagement. That is wonderful news, man, wonderful news. You guys, just from afar, you guys seem like such a good fit in terms of your mutual interest, man. I'm so happy for you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.